Welcome to Warn Radio with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn. Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, I should say. We are here on a Friday, and we are going to be doing our Friday Shabbat, welcoming in the weekend. You're listening to, as the promo said, Warn Radio. This is the WIBR Warn Radio. We've been in business, we are not necessarily a profit-making enterprise, but we are the WIBR Warn Radio Christian Ministry. For over 21 years, we have been in this end-time ministry, preaching, teaching, warning, and advocacy for the persecuted church. On Fridays, the sound of the shofar, we look into the Messiah, HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, our Lord, Yeshua. And we focus on biblical-centered studies and teachings. You can find us by going to Facebook and Watchman IS 216, Instagram, it's Warn Radio, Warn Radio on Twitter, Watchman IS216 on Twitter, The Watchman on LinkedIn. We're also on Tumblr. We have over 1,300 videos on Vimeo, and we have a bunch of videos over on Facebook. You can be sure to join our websites, warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. And we have added another network, which is Blog Talk Radio. Go to Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio. You can also listen to us on Blueberry, iHeart. We have a couple of feeds on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Acast, and others. Go to the front of our websites, warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, and you can find a little app to listen on, although we do embed all the shows and have accompanying article on it. You can find that over on warn-usa.com. Both of the sites do have apps that you can listen to, and you also have apps for your smartphones as well. And we have a couple of articles. Redemptive light shines and darkness doesn't comprehend it at all. Be sure to go on over to either one of the websites. You can listen, you can read that. The Lord talked a lot about light and darkness, and this article talks about the power of Christianity and where that power is found. The Son of God manifested in, you know, amidst the darkness of the Roman Empire, there came a light. So both of these, you're in a time and an era of darkness, but you are the light. This week, His presence, faith being kept amidst world tribulation. Now, in this particular thing, we are on part two. And we left off, and we were talking about to keep them alive. And we will get to that again in a minute. Psalm 33, verse 19, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in the famine. And before that, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear or morally reverence him, upon them that hope, patient hope in his mercy, his loving kindness. So the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear the Lord and hope in his mercy. Today, that mercy, it comes through Christ, our Lord. To deliver their soul from death, that's the second death. But also, it has to do with a deliverance to keep them alive in a famine. And we are being in the end days, and we are talking about being kept. It is appropriate to understand that when Scripture tells us to keep them alive, that's what that means. Now, the Duck commander, and I can't remember the dude's name, but of course that show, I'd never watched it. I just happened to see a quote of his. He was being interviewed, and apparently they were talking about health care. Somebody was talking about health care, and it came to him and asked him, apparently. And he said, health care? I've got eternal life. What do I need health care for? And so, you know, live or die, we're the Lord's. But see, there's a promise associated with that. In John 3:16, of course, that's a promise everybody remembers. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Now, you see, when we do talk about that, we forget the rest of the verses that says many won't come to him because they love darkness more. But there is a promise. Now see, many people even know the next verse, that God did not send in a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's true. But it doesn't change the fact that a lot will not listen. They will not come to the light at all. And so when we get into the Old Testament, and of course this has to do with where we're at, and that is in Isaiah on Thursday nights. And it also has to do with this particular study about being kept alive. And there's a lot of relevance to both of those studies for Christians today. To keep them alive in the famine, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Now let me read that. That's in Psalms 12, 1 through 2 through 8. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I'll set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace, purified seven times, that means perfect. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. They speak vanity, emptiness, every one with their neighbor. Flattering lips and a double heart. In other words, they talk to him about one thing and they have an ulterior motive as to why they want to talk to him, why they want to flatter him up. It talks of an evil people. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongues that speaketh proud things. And this is what he says, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us. And, you know, James has a lot to talk about when we talk about the tongue. But if you ever wonder about the tongue, think about the Twitter feed, the social feed, your smartphone, the ability to make short, pithy statements in a short amount of time and send them over an airwave. That's keying it in on your phone. But it's still your heart that speaks. Short videos, we see lots of them. And of course, the division in America, the hate around the world. But the common theme, although people may have different things here, you know, is the fact that they speak proud things, they are proud. And they're saying, who is Lord over us? At what point in time do we acknowledge the Lord? At what time do we really say in our hearts we know him and will honor him? But he says in this psalm, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, when you're poor and needy, you have problems. But in general, it is not righteous just to be poor, neither is it righteous just to be rich. The righteousness today is through Christ and faith in him. Now will I arise, saith the Lord, and I'll set him in safety from him that puffs at him. So you have, you've heard of a puffeth adder. Any number of other animals can be dangerous. But in this old world, we like to huff and puff at each other, speak proud things, use flattering lips, have double hearts, and be able to think that with our tongue we can prevail. I mean, look at politicians. They get elected for the ability of their promises and what they say. Our whole system, a political system, is built on speeches before crowds. You get in Congress and you vote, and of course you can speak and you can give your mind. And people don't realize that every word that they're speaking, they're going to be given accountable. But see, what we're talking about, though, is being kept alive in persecution. And what we're seeing here is that the way society is, that in the midst of these verses we find, number one, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the earth, furnace of the earth purified seven times. Seven is a multiplier. It's God's number, as we call it, a perfect number. And when it's used in a context of something like this, that means a completeness. It's perfect. The words are perfect. And just as when you take a silver or even gold and you try to smelt them, even with all of our efforts as men, we can only smelt anything 99.9% pure. And we can look in heaven, that is from Scripture, and see that pure gold appears as glass. It's in the Scripture. So I account for that fact that that other 0.1 of a percent is the difference between having gold as clear as glass or having the gold we have now. But it's an interesting concept. But we're talking about the word of the Lord being perfect and pure. So if he gives you a promise, then it's true. Because it is perfect. All you have to do is accomplish your part in that promise. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Who's he talking about? If you look up previously, he's talking about the oppression of the poor, the sighing of the needy. It's talking about his people who keep his word. Now today, as we look at it, we do have the word of the Lord, and we do have a place that we need to be in him. Who does God want to keep? Does he want to keep the wicked? Well, the next verse after that says, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. And the truth of the matter is that that is true. But how do you define wickedness? When we look at the Ayatollah in Iran, they're waiting on the Mahdi. They want to have a one-world rule. He pushes the concept that you can send jihadists out to rape, kill, and pillage, and if they die in the war for that cause of Islam, they're going to be in heaven with 70 fair-haired virgins and the whole nine yards. Totally ludicrous, but that's what they believe. Now, is he wicked? He considers us wicked in this country. He considers Jews and Christians as unbelievers. Well, the measurement here is in the Word of God. And the promise did not go through Ishmael. And that's what, of course, the Ayatollah is. He's on that side of the fence. The promise went through Isaac. And to both the Jews and the believers, the Gentiles, came this one promise of life eternal through the Messiah who was to come. He has come. His name is Yeshua, Jesus Christ. And so when we break it down into being kept alive during a certain function. And last night we talked about the day of the Lord. Yesterday, I mean. Out of Isaiah. And see, the day of the Lord is one of those things that if when the day of the Lord comes, it's unlike anything you will ever see. And the chances of dying are pretty hefty. But see, the one promise in these verses is to keep them alive. That's the opposite of death. Of course, you know that, but that's what it is. To keep them alive. To save life. Now see, for us as believers, when we see of eternal life, meaning when we die and put off this body through Christ, we live with him. And we will live eternally. When you get in the Old Testament and the keeping of the law, the life entailed living a good long life and being blessed of God because you're keeping his commandments. And when you die, you go into Abraham's bosom, that place, and God will judge you, and you have a lot of good stuff on your side of the scale, and you will go into heaven. Today we have the fact. Of course, the one thing about the Old Testament, they had to have the atonement just like we did. Only their atonement wasn't from the Messiah because he hadn't come yet. And the commonality in that Paul talks about, and that's the fact, the blood of bulls and goats and the blood of the Son of God. The blood of the Son of God being applied to your life is just as if Abraham, who believed God, it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. So when we believe on the Son of God and his work on the cross, his dying, shedding of blood, because atonement must be made through the blood. And that's why you're not supposed to drink the blood. That's why you're not supposed to shed innocent blood, because the blood is that which is used for atonement. It gives life. And that's precisely why in many of the satanic ceremonies, drinking blood, blood and sex is always involved. Blood and sex. The two strongest urges there are in the human condition, Satan uses. Because he knows God gave man and woman to be united together. And in the bed, united as husband and wife, the bed is defiled. I mean, not defiled, it's undefiled. But when you just go out and fornicate with anybody you want to, that is a defiling. Well, needless to say, the promises. Psalm 119, 129, with tenacity, the tenacity with which the soul clings to God. Concerning thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore does my soul keep them. Proverbs says this, chapter 4, verse 20 through 22, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, in health to all their flesh. We're talking about God's word. That is what we hope in. Those are the promises. And so when you have something threatening your life, you get God's word, you hang on to the promises, and you go from there. And the reason that when we look at this is that we see lots of people in recent memory as Christians who have been murdered. Now there is prophecies. And we talked about the seal judgments last night in Isaiah that relates to this. But it's about staying alive. It's about believing. Because God's word is perfect. It's been tried. It's absolutely perfect. And he gives us. Now, the Hebrews, you know, hall of fame of faith. We have those that found the promises and clung to them and were delivered, and others who chose a better resurrection and were killed, martyred, in order to find a better resurrection. But see, you have faith, you have scripture, you have belief, you have tenacity where you hang on to that. And yeah, you can get, you know, tired, worn out, challenged, to the point of giving up. And then you go before God and seek His face. And understand that even in your weakness, His strength is made perfect. That's the Word of God. And so you come away with that with more faith, and you're able to keep pressing on. Proverbs 22:17-21, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within thee, and they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee. Now, that I might make known, might make thee know, this is who he's speaking to. Think of a prophet here. He's given the prophet a word of knowledge, or he's given today a Christian something. That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. Why? That you might make known or answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee. See, that's the way it would happen in the Old Testament. If they wanted to talk to Samuel, to Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, any of them, the king would send for them. They would come and appear, and the king inquires. So the Lord's saying, I want you to know these words, so that when someone, you know, wants you, they send for you, they come to you, they want to be in your presence to talk to you about these things, that you might give them the words of truth. You can call this a testimony. The Lord told Paul, you know, he said, you're going to have to appear before Caesar in Rome. I mean, really, how do you appear before Caesar? He's a pretty big dude. In the Roman Empire, there's a lot of people that would never see him just from a distance, let alone talk to him. But see, Paul had been given the words of truth. And he talked to other people in power. See, for us today, we have a testimony, and we have the truth, and we have the gospel, and there are those that might send for you, or join you, or want you to join them, and they want to know the words of truth. You might answer the words of truth. Maybe you're going out for coffee with a friend. You get on a subject of divine healing or whatever, so you tell them the words of truth. Here's the truth. The truth is in Scripture. By His stripes have you been healed. You believe Him. Now, you see, John G. Lake, who had a huge ministry, the book that I read is like, I don't know, about 4 inches thick. I read it years ago, and I still have it. But whenever he would talk to someone that's not a Christian, and if they were sick of any kind, he would tell them, if you become a Christian, you'll be healed. He told them that all the time. He was so successful at people becoming healed, he had prayer centers and stuff, that they actually tried to sue him for, you know, being a physician without a license, you know. What are you doing? It wasn't right. They went after him. They didn't like it. Because it, you know, that's not like the rest of us. You got to be like us. You know, we never get healed. So why should you talk about getting healed? You're practicing. We don't like it. You don't. You're practicing healing. Well, you know, if you were in the apocalypse and you were in a cave, and you had a Baptist, you had a Catholic, and you had a Pentecostal that believed in the power of God and had seen people healed. And so the other two come down with a terrible sickness. They're going to be mighty glad that the Pentecostal, that is, if he isn't chicken and runs out the door, remember, an apocalypse is going on, so he isn't going to leave. Guess what? He's going to tell them. He's going to pray for them. Or maybe she's, you know, it's a woman, either one. Going to pray for them for divine healing. We report on the advocacy of the church. That's part of our advocacy, is reporting for the persecuted church. And we come across lots of miracles. And these miracles come because the people involved in them are seeking the Lord. They're in terrible situations. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to lay down and die? Or are you going to stand? Paul says, having done to stand, having done all to stand, stand therefore. It's like sticking your sword in the ground. You're not going to move. You're surrounded. And you're going to stay there. Of course, they don't see the chariots in heaven surrounded you and the angels alongside you. They don't see that part, but there you are. I'm not going to move. I'm here. I have staked out my territory by faith, and this is what I'm going to do. That's it. No more. This is my decision. I'm sticking with it, period. Now, what are you going to do about it? Now, you see, when the 12 spies came back, you know, they had went into the promised land. All they saw was giants and getting killed and slaughtered. But Joshua and Caleb, they were ready to go. Come on, God will give us the victory. Let's go. Of course, the other 10 tribes were in horror. Or the other 10 spies, plus most of Israel, the 10 spies had indeed turned the hearts of Israel away from the Lord because of the negativity. They, no way, we're not going to go. Go up there? No, you go. We'll pray for you. You go ahead. Oh, God, we hear that a lot. I'll pray for you. You go ahead. You want to walk on the streets? You want to preach to someone? You go ahead. I'll pray for you. You need someone to pray for you. No, no, that's not the way it works. You will pray together. You go out and confront together because two are better than one. Oh, no, we're going to hide over here and we're going to pray that God will deliver you. Part of the deliverance is for you to stand up. See, that's the deliverance, because God has given you the word. Now, there comes time that he might have to send a little help or show you what you need to do. And we find a lot of these instructions in the word of God. The Lord himself says, when they persecute you in this place, go to another place. That's simple. Be ye wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, your enemy is wise to be evil. God wants you to be wise. He doesn't want you to be evil. He wants you to use God's word. Stand by faith, because it's a live word. And challenge that enemy. Find a way to get delivered. Find a way to be kept alive. Well, I just want to die. Well, that's okay if you want to die. But you see, somebody has to be alive to testify. Somebody has to be alive to help the kids that are so disjointed today. Who's going to help the children? Who's going to help a lot of them out there that are totally, absolutely lost? And if every Christian tucks tail and run and hides in a closet, oh, we got to pray. No, you don't. There comes a time to pray. There comes a time to fight. You pray first, you go fight. You don't go pray, look out the window, and decide it's time to pray some more. Unless you're going to pray more and actually go to the fight. Most people go into the prayer closet and forget to go out to fight. It's just like I've said many times, you rebuke that enemy in Jesus' name and he sticks around. And you're like, what are you doing around here? He says, well, you know, I'm here to destroy you. Well, I don't want you to destroy me. Well, there's nothing you can do about it. Well, yeah, there is. I rebuked you in Jesus' name. He says, I know what you said. I know who Jesus is, but I don't think you do. Because there was no faith behind it. I ain't afraid of you. You don't have no faith. You don't believe. Even I believe. The scripture even says the devils believe. You don't think devils believe? They believe. When you have a real tough demon, you throw him out. What does he do? Does he go hide? No, he goes gets 10 other demons with him. 7 to 10, whatever the number is. The Lord gave us that. And he comes back. Why? Because you may have cast him out in Jesus' name, but he's coming back for a rumble. It's just like you meet one of the gang, you beat him up, and he goes and gets about 6 more. Now, in the area that I was raised in, smack dab in the middle of an Indian reservation, I had Mexican friends, Indian friends, hippie friends, and cowboy friends. Didn't have any Negroes, blacks. They weren't around. But I did have the others. And I found out that the whites who, you know, there's a lot of whites around. And I happen to be Caucasian. I got more trouble from them than I did anybody else. I ate in Mexican homes, their food. Ran around with them. I ate in Indian homes. And you name it. Now, you see, sin doesn't know color. Color is a race card that sin brings up in order to divide humans. The race card, feminist is another race card. A chauvinist pig is another race card. It's all the same type, meant to divide. We can divide because that's what the enemy does. He divides. And that's what's happened in America. He's going to divide America, which he already has. He's going to destroy America unless somebody gets out of the closet and gets out there with some power and stands up. And it's the same way when we get into the middle of trying to live. Now, I had a lot of stuff I was doing this week. And there were some things that I got pretty stressed over trying to do because over the years I've learned one thing. When I started doing websites, I hadn't the foggiest idea how to do them. But I prayed to the Lord. It was the Lord that started me on this path on the internet and broadcasting and preaching on it to get the word around the world. He said I was going to be preaching around the world. And I was doing it this way. We were doing this when nobody, hardly anybody, was doing it. I was online preaching. I had my kids with me. I had my wife with me. We were doing it a long time ago. But I didn't know how to do websites. I didn't know how to do anything. Didn't know how to edit video. I didn't know even how to upload stuff. Didn't know nothing. I know it all today to do what we're doing. I know what I know. I don't know everything. Nobody does, but except the Lord. But you see, in the midst of this learning, I had to go through intensive days of, dear God, what have I gotten myself into? And then once I started doing some code, I figured out one little wrong letter can screw up the whole thing. And how many times did I lose everything? And I had to start over. I had to learn how to put upsides, keep them up, keep them safe, learn, continue learning writing. All my life, God has directed me, but he wasn't going to do it for me. If I get in trouble and need a miracle, he's there. But he's given me the word, and I was to go out, and I had to learn. And in the learning, I had to learn patience. I had to learn discipline. I had to learn how to stick to it. I had to learn that in the midst of your failures, and you're on that edge, close to give up, but you don't. You sit down, and all of a sudden, you realize that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You realize that in your weakness, his strength is made perfect. You realize that if you ask wisdom and knowledge, he'll give it to you. So I ask him. Read the Old Testament. How do you think they got all the things to make for the temple and the temple priests and everything else, not to mention the fact when Solomon took over? Where do you think all them artisans in silver and gold came from? All that knowledge wasn't their own. God gave it to them. And many of the unbelievers have tremendous talent. Where did that come from? The Lord. He distributes gifts to men. Because he's a good God. But yet many of them use it for their own glory. But see, you have to learn these things. So when we talk about living, many people have trouble living even when it's nice. Even when you're living in America, people get depressed and they commit suicide. They get on drugs. We're one of the largest drug-using nations on the face of this earth, and we are the freest. We have more churches that are free and, colleges, seminaries. We have Christian broadcast stations. We have everything you could think of for the believer and the Christian, everything that you could want in this country, and yet we have suicides. Our children are going to hell because they're taught the wrong things. Many of them are confused. We're all screwed up when it comes to sexual identity. We have no concept of what godliness is. We don't know what morality is. We don't even know what truth is. We don't even know what real news is. We only heard of fake news when Trump got up there and he was a billionaire white guy that everybody hated except the people on the street and the people who heard him, and they're the ones that put him in office to the detriment of the Democrats that hate him, and they'll hate him till the day they die. We have a hard time staying alive, staying happy today. How in the world are you going to make it when all hell breaks loose? The answer, you're not. You have got to change your attitude today. Do I go around singing, America the Beautiful every day? Do I go around singing glory to God all day long? Is my head so high in the spiritual clouds I'm no earthly good? Am I so perfect my wife is just so ecstatic and jealous at the same time because I'm so perfect? No, folks, we're just people. We're not perfect. But we know one thing. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he will keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. See, in this one, Proverbs 22, that I read a few moments ago, bow down your ear and hear the words of the wise. How many times do we really hear wise words? Going out and getting killed and killing others just so you can have 70 virgins is not wise. Now, you may think that's wise as a young man sitting somewhere, but that is a way to death. Apply your heart unto my knowledge, the Lord says. His knowledge is found in the Word of God. And it's found in other people who know him, who preach the truth and teach the truth and testify. God has children, has sons and daughters all over this earth. Don't let the devil kid you. And in some of the hardest areas to be Christians, there are Christians everywhere. And the enemy is getting saved. It goes on to say, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within thee. That's the word of God hidden in your heart. I have kept thy heart, thy word hidden in my heart, O Lord, that I may not sin against thee. They shall be fitted in thy lips. So when they get into your heart, they will come out of your lips. Why did he do that? The next verse, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known unto thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee? Because in this society, wherever you're at, whether it's here in America or overseas, it is hard to live and stay alive. It is hard to be happy. And all these millionaires with all their billions and whatever, yeah, right, they're just happy, huh? And all them movie stars that you want to be like, oh yeah, they're so happy, that's why they divorce all the time. Very few of them stay married for very long. And how about the reflection of society itself? Watch all the soaps. You know, some of the longest running shows on TV are the old soaps that our mothers and some of our grandmothers used to watch a long time ago. As the Stomach Churns, or As the World Turns, The Young and the Restless. And the only reason I know that is because we were watching a few shows on CBS online one time. And guess what? They were talking about, I think it was The Young and the Restless, the longest running daytime soap opera there is. Sex, jealousy, violence, all dressed up. Yeah, that's a reflection of our society. No morals. They don't talk about Christian. They don't talk about the Lord God. So what kind of knowledge do you want? Well, the saving one is in Christ. It's in God. So, folks, we've been talking and starting this conversation about staying alive, being kept alive, and we've done so out of the Old Testament. That's where a lot of this has been. Well, the next time that we really get on this, when we get on this, we're going to be in the New Testament. Because I do have some fitting words and prayers for you to pray. They're scriptures. It is paramount that you listen and meditate on these things, so that you really hear what the Lord has to say. Now, I preach, I teach, and I give you God's word, and it's anointed. But you have to have ears that hear. Now, I can tell you there's people that write me, and they've written me a number of times. They correspond with me. And they believe there is a way that God will make for them and to keep them and their families alive. You see, there is a place, and we can prove it in Scripture, for the believers to make it through the times of judgment. Israel came out of Egypt. Noah went into the boat and out of the boat, but both of them went through the trouble and the trial and the tribulation of their day. Lot was and his wife, family, you know, they all had a chance to leave. Some of the other of their family laughed at Lot, so they didn't leave. Lot's wife sinned and turned around, and she didn't get to leave. She got judged where she was. But Lot and his daughters left. The children of Israel who were in Babylon, the Lord told them to depart out of Babylon and let Jerusalem come to mind. You see, we have. Look at Peter. They put Peter in prison. And when they went to get him, he was gone. He had been surrounded by guards everywhere. Nobody knew where he was, and someone said, you know, he was out there. There was Paul and Silas. They were in prison. They were delivered out of prison. The guard, you know, the one in charge of the guardhouse, got saved, him and his family. I mean, there's illustrations of deliverances. Yes, we have a lot of people that die. But I'm telling you, there is a place for you tonight where you can find and you can stay and be found in the Lord. And that has got to be up to you. You know, it's not up to me to keep you there. It's up to you to keep you there. I can't, you know, pray in your stead. I can pray for you, but I cannot pray and then it's like you praying for yourself. No, that it doesn't work that way. God hears from me. He wants to hear from you. We don't live each other's life in the faith. We live our own, and we love one another. You see, that's how it works. And today, God is saying to his church, if you want to survive what's coming, draw close to me. And the devil will try to get you totally wrapped up in everything around you. You see, I don't get wrapped up. I know what's going on, but I do not get wrapped up in the news. I don't allow it to determine who I am and what I'm going to do or how I feel. There are challenges that I go through, and I have to meet them by faith and get through them. And when I come across an obstacle, I know what God has done. Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, that's nothing new for me because my whole life has been like that. I learned. I would seek the Lord and research and look to him and pray. And sometimes that answer is far in the future, but it comes. And I absolutely believe that God can deliver you out of troubles and tribulations and whatever affects you today. I believe that. And I believe as well, when John Lake was talking to those who needed help, and they would come to him, and he says, if you become a Christian, you'll have the Spirit of God within you, and you will be healed of that. He had a lot of people that, when they came to him, healing went on. Nevertheless, we've got to decide today what suits you. No, You've got to decide. You've got to seek the Lord and allow Him to lead you. Because He's your God. He's my God. But I don't rule your faith. You determine your faith. God doesn't determine your faith. He gives to everyone a measure of faith. He's given you His word. He's given you His son. The rest is there in the book. The rest is there for you to act on. It goes from there. You whine and you cry and you wonder and you get upset over things. Stop it. And when I say this, I even say it to myself. Because as humans and being Christians, we still come into times when we need to understand the real truth. Well, you need to stop that. Okay. So seek the Lord. And next time, I do have some special scriptures that I've been using for a lot of years for deliverance and for that inevitable time when it comes, the judgment. And so, for today, for Tower and I, we'll see you next week. Don't forget to visit our websites, warren-usa.com and danaglynsmith.com. Until next time, this is The Watchman. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warren Radio.